Melissa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show this morning. Well, this is Coach Lalisa, and I tell you, I am excited, excited on this marvelous, marvelous Monday. We have in the studio with us the awesome, the dynamic, the very gifted and talented composer and producer of Living the James Bond Lifestyle. Good morning, Mr. Paul Kiriazi, all the way from Tokyo, Japan. Welcome.
Good morning, Coach. It's snowing here in Tokyo. It's a beautiful sight for a San Francisco Rays boy to see all those giant snowflakes floating down.
Well, good thing they're giant, and that means that you probably won't get it too bad, I hope.
I guess that's right. It sure is beautiful.
Wow, beautiful. Well, take a picture and put it on Facebook for us so we can see it. I'd love to see the snow in China. I mean, in Japan. Well, we don't have snow right now, but they're promising us some snow over this way on the East Coast. Thank God most of that 20 inches that we had a couple of weeks back is finally melting away. So hopefully it'll melt away before we get more. So today you're going to be doing part two of your four-part series from your mini-series, Living the James Bond Lifestyle. So what part are you going to do today? I know you're going to talk about Bond and his cash and Q Branch, and what else do you have for us?
Your appearance, and I'm going to define the Bond girl since it's Valentine's Day. One of my James Bond lifestyle agents said, "Paul, Valentine's Day. Why didn't you do the relationships on Valentine's Day?" But I wanted to keep it in proper order. But for Valentine's Day, I wanted to get more defined the Bond girl since I know a great deal of your listeners are women, so I want to do that as a bonus on Valentine's Day.
Well, that's great. And with that being said, I'm going to get out of your way really in the second here. I just want to take a moment to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day for those women who and men who are married. Congratulations to you. I hope you have had a wonderful weekend and you have a great celebration tonight. For those of you who are single and desire to be married, definitely take some good notes from the Bond girl. And also, you know, from what is going to be said here today, and then I will come back toward the very end to share some more updates. Our show tomorrow, we have Mr. Kevin Eichel coming on, so we're excited about that. And then Thursday, we have Ms. Ronnie Nicole, and also Friday, we have a very, 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 very special treat for you. And Wednesday, so all week long, there's a guest. So wonderful, look at that. Well, anyway, now I want you to just for 1 second go grab the phone, your text, your cell phone, text somebody and tell them to tune in to Paul Curiosity this morning on the Coach Louisa Show and get these awesome, awesome tips about how you can live the life you want, the James Bond lifestyle way. And we know that we are really living it, doing it big. Okay, so Mr. Paul, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Coach. This is indeed the second show of the James Bond Lifestyle Seminar, and we covered a lot of things in show number one. So if you, when you get a chance, if you haven't heard it, go back to show number one, and you'll hear more of what the James Bond lifestyle is and what it isn't. You know, it's interesting, in Casino Royale, James Bond now works for a woman, M, who's, it always used to be M, but it was a man, now the head of MI6, is a woman, and she told James Bond, when he made a mistake and got into big trouble, she told him, arrogance and self-awareness seldom go hand in hand. So Bond does have a problem with arrogance. And this course is not about being better than somebody else. As you heard in the first installment that we did, there's a very spiritual aspect to the James Bond lifestyle where I told you we are not human beings. We are spiritual beings going through a human evolution. And we're not here. This is not about being competitive and being better than somebody else. This is making our own self as best we can. In fact, to be successful at anything, we have to go from the competitive mind to the creative mindset. We have to express ourselves. If we try to compete with somebody, we're going to be in that mindset, and maybe that's not the right mindset for you to be creative. Now, take Walt Disney. He never competed. He just expressed his own dreams and his own desires. Around 1940, he wanted to break out into features. Now, if he was competitive, he would have tried to compete with MGM. They were famous for musicals, and he would have tried to make a bigger and better musical, or competed with Warner Brothers, famous for the gangster movies, James Cagney, Humphrey Bogart, and he would have tried to make the biggest and greatest gangster movie, or even competed with Universal Studios to make the biggest monster movies. They were making Frankenstein and the Wolfman over there. But what did he do? He decided he would make the first full-length animated feature film, which was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and everybody told him, you know, not only wasn't he competing, they told him that it's totally crazy. Nobody could, you know, be successful, and nobody wanted to, with an animated film, and no audience would sit through a feature-length animated film, and it was very scary for him to finance that. He knew he had a hit with the premiere when Clark Gable and his wife were crying at the death scene of Snow White. He knew he had a hit. So let's remember that to switch from the competitive mind to the creative mindset and create yourself. So we've talked about James Bond and what is James Bond, and Coach Lisa has mentioned a couple of times the Bond girl is intelligent and confident and usually a professional businesswoman. You know, the Bond girls get a bad rap because usually we see them in magazines and still photographs or clips on television about James Bond, but it's never they're never taken in context of the actual story. So we get this image of the Bond girl is just some beautiful girl in a bikini coming out of the water, as Ursula Andress did in Dr. No, and Halle Berry repeated that in another Bond movie. But let's go from the beginning. Ursula Andress in Dr. No. Sure, she's famous for coming out of the water in that bikini. But she was her own businesswoman. She collected shells on the dangerous island where everybody was afraid to go to and sold them at another place on the mainland. She was self-taught. She was reading the entire encyclopedia, and I think she was up to the letter R. And she was also proactive, meaning she took care of circumstances, situation that came her way. Now, this is just fiction, but it's an interesting thing. She was attacked by some man in her building, and she said, I put a black widow spider in his mosquito net, and it took him a whole week to die. Bond is like, wow. She said, did I do wrong? And Bond says, no, but don't make a habit of that. Okay, this just shows, now this is fiction, you know, it just shows that she's proactive and able to take care of herself. I'm not saying that you should put a poisonous spider in your husband's bed, okay, especially if you're using the same bed. Okay, and by the way, a side note, Ursula Andress's bikini, this true story, was auctioned off and sold for $65,000. True story, and that's without her in it. So amazing piece of trivia there. In the next Bond movie, From Russia with Love, remember the Rosa Klebb, the Russian spy woman, and she was kicking at Bond with that poison knife in her shoe, and she had Bond up against the wall, and she was kicking at him, trying to hit him with that knife in the shoe and poison him, and she was also stabbing at him with a hairpin, and Bond was in bad trouble, and it's the Bond girl that shot Rosa Klebb and saved Bond's life at the very end. So we don't know that. We don't think about that when we're watching those still pictures in the magazines. Goldfinger, it was Miss Galore that called the FBI, and that's what ultimately got the bomb turned off and saved Bond in the Fort Knox. So she's saved at the end. The very end of Thunderball, if you remember now, Domino, the Bond girl, Bond was about to be shot by Largo, the villain, and Domino saves Bond, shooting the villain with a spear gun. And you only live twice. The Bond girl swims to go get the commandos and brings the commandos up to the secret mountain hideout of the bad guy. And not only does she do that, she's in on the battle. And the last one I want to mention, Her Majesty's Secret Service, Diana Rigg. Bond is escaping from the villains and runs into her, and she says, what's the matter, darling? And he says, there's men after me, and he's all tired out. She says, come with me. She drives the getaway car and crashes into the bad guys. And so there's, you know, the first six movies showing us what Bond girls are. And Ursula Andress, I saw her on the Merv Griffin Show and television, and she was with another actor, and I can't remember who the other actor was. But he said, I want to tell you something about this lady, he said, pointing to Ursula. It was unrehearsed. And he said, we were at a funeral, and we went to the widow's house for the, you know, eating and meeting other people. And Ursula was in the kitchen washing dishes. That's a true story, and says a lot. Now, there's a real Bond girl. There's a real beautiful woman. So they are Bond girls. I wanted to give you those examples because, you know, we're dealing with fiction here. Bond is not real. Bond girls are not real. But the impact of the movie is so great upon us that we want to do those things. So the Bond girl is intelligent, confident, professional, businesswoman, brave, and proactive. And I want to say this story. This is for the Bond girl listeners, which I've never used this story in my seminars. But it connects for both men and women. Ruth Gordon is an actress. You know her from Rosemary's Baby, and where she was the old eccentric woman next door to Mia Farrow. She was in Harold and Maude, that, you know, the 20-year-old guy who falls in love with the 80-year-old woman. But Ruth Gordon was telling the story when she was young. And I'll tell it in her words because I heard her say it. And she says, when I was younger and 25, and we were going to the Academy Awards, and I was going with Janet Gaynor, and she was the star in the original Star is Born. And Janet came to my house before we went there, and she was wearing this nice blue dress. And I said, Janet, I love your dress more than mine. And she looked at my dress. She said, well, to tell you the truth, I like your dress more than the one I'm wearing as well. And they said, well, let's change dresses. And they got all excited. They changed dresses. And we went to the Academy Awards, and we were outside the theater with our dresses feeling really great. And then a limousine pulls up, and Marlene Dietrich gets out, you know, the great German beauty actress of Star of Blue Angel and many movies. And she gets out with this flowing white body-clinging gown, and all the photographers went over, start taking pictures. And Ruth turns to Janet and says, well, I guess nobody's going to care about our dresses. And she said, Ruth said, and from then on, I had to learn to put myself across, to express myself at dinners and with other people. I had to learn to show my personality because I knew I couldn't compete with Marlene Dietrich. So I always remembered that. It's interesting, side note, that Marlene Dietrich, when she got older, she went into hiding, basically. She wouldn't even see her friends. They'd call her on the phone, let us meet you. No, no, she said, I want you to remember me the way I used to be. So she, you know, she got out of the business and wouldn't even see her friends because she had her beauty going. Where Ruth Gordon, she worked into her 80s, and so once again, this echoes what we learned last week, where you know, we have to learn to express our individuality using the tools of the personality, and that's what she was saying. We have to learn. She learned to put herself across, and that's exactly the way she said it. So there's some Valentine's gifts to our Bond girls that are listening in. Okay, last show we were on the Bond symbols for change, and you might have gone out and got a new money clip, a new wallet, a new watch, an attaché case, and I also recommend getting a James Bond title song anthology on CD. So when you really want to get yourself going, you put on your favorite Bond song. You know, I like the Tom Jones one. He strikes like thunderball. He runs while other men walk. He acts while other men just talk. That movie, that song motivates me. Man with a Golden Gun is a lot of them are very powerful. Okay, and some Bond DVDs of your favorite Bond movies, you know, to get you into the mood. So these symbols are very important. Like I said before, they, you know, you don't backslide, and you look at your new watch, and you know, you say to yourself, hey, I'm doing the James Bond lifestyle. I'm not going to go back to the way, you know, I used to be. Okay, Q Branch, as every Bond fan knows, Q Branch is where we get our weapons from. The same actor, Desmond Llewellyn, played in about 20 of those, or about 18 of those first Bond movies, and giving James Bond his ejector seat car and all his different weapons and gadgets. So we're going to talk about Q Branch. Now ask yourself, what do you think is the most powerful two gadgets for the James Bond lifestyle? Okay, most powerful is the calendar and the calculator. The calendar is to set a date for what you want to do. Move into that new apartment, take your family on that vacation, start your new business, start a project, enroll in some classes. You set a date. The date's important, activation date, I call it. And exact plans equal exact results. Inexact plans, what do they equal? A lot of people say, well, inexact plans equal inexact results. No, inexact plans equals no results. You know, somebody says, well, I think I'll, you know, go to school the next year, or maybe the year after, or maybe I won't go at all. Maybe I'll do this. You got to have an activation date, so you put that on your calendar. And the calculator, the other most powerful gadget, and that's used to make a budget. Every goal you'll have is going to need money. I mean, you walk outside the house, you're going to need money. So you've got to make a budget and use your calculator to add up that budget for what you want. Write that on the calendar. Now, not only you have to have a budget, then you're going to have to add up the cash you have now. And if you want to use your credit cards because it's something very important, like a school, and you want to start earlier, you want to go into your credit cards, you have to make that choice. You add up your cash, your credit cards, and then you add up your projected income. I want to start school, or I want to move to a new apartment. You know, this one is, you know, $1,000. I want to move to another one that's $2,000 a month. When can I do that? And you got to add up, if you're making $2,000 a month, you got to add up when you're going to have enough money to do that. And then you write it on your calendar. Now, we talked about the base of operations last week, and now we're going to talk about the Mission Control Center. Mission Control Center will be your space, maybe a table, perhaps, or usually next to your computer, but a table with a 2-foot by 3-foot surface area. It could be your kitchen counter or an end table by your door. But that is your Mission Control Center, and it's always clean. Of course, your apartment is going to be in different levels of cleanliness. That is always clean and dusted. You put your calendar there, your calculator there. And more important, everything you're going to need outside, your wallet, your watch, your money clip, your sunglasses, your keys. And if they're not there, you better start looking because they're lost. So this way you never have to run through the house yelling, "Where's my keys? Where's my sunglasses?" Mission Control Center should also have the success book that you're reading on there. Any important important thing like that, you put on your Mission Control Center, and it's always clean. Okay, another important thing to have, talk about the briefcase, and Bond has a very fancy briefcase in the movie From Russia with Love, Q Branch, and the man is called Q, and he's from Q Branch, and he gives James Bond this special briefcase. And in high school, I remember asking a friend, "Hey, what's in the briefcase?" And they'll say, "Well, there's a sniper's rifle, and there's a button you push, and the knife comes out. And there's a tear gas capsule. If you don't open it up right, it'll explode. And there's 50 gold sovereigns, 50 gold coins." Now, I remember later in college, I asked a guy, "What's in the briefcase?" And the guy says, "50 gold sovereigns." And only that, because after high school, money really becomes important, if not during high school. But that's a good example. So another empowering Bond symbol, a gold coin, you can get those. You can't go to a store usually, a coin shop. They're hard to find. You have to get them on the internet. You can search that. I carried a full ounce Canadian maple leaf, nice big heavy coin in a protective case. And gold is very empowering, not only for James Bond, but there's something about the human psyche that loves gold. All the gold in the world is still here. It lives forever. It doesn't rust. It's the most malleable metal on earth. You can make, a thousandth of an inch sheets. One gold coin, you can make a 1 mile gold string and it won't break. I mean, to me, that's incredible. But there's a lot of these. So there's something about gold, Hey, Goldfinger, he loves only gold. So a couple of times I remember being, it was I was waiting for some money to come in, and I was practically broke. But I still had that gold coin in me carrying. I was carrying it in my pocket at the time, that full ounce. So I still felt that you know, I was prosperous, and you know, until my my money came in. So that's another power thing. Now, if you want to be like Bond, you can get the gold sovereign. And a gold sovereign, a full sovereign, is, of course, is mintage from England. And a full sovereign is 1/4 of an ounce. And they're about dime size. And those are easy to carry in your wallet. Right now, the price of gold is $1,400 per ounce. So for $300, you can get yourself a James Bond gold sovereign. Okay, so we've covered Q branch, and these are all interconnected. Let's go into Bond and his cash. And as you know, rule number one and rule number 21 of the James Bond lifestyle is I never run out of cash. Very important to pay for all those resorts, and that's, you know, that's what we like. We see James Bond in those resorts. And that's one of the, and traveling and airplanes and all of that. Of course, the men, they're always talking about cars. You know, they love cars, and that's going to cost a few bucks as well. Okay, let's talk about the, you know, before we get into the cash, well, connected to the cash, the true meaning of success. And some people say to be rich or rich and famous, but what is the true meaning of success? And I've heard a lot of different definitions, and my favorite is success is enjoying your time, doing the things you want to do mostly and less of the things that you don't want to do. And cash is what will do it for you. They said the guy who wrote the book How to Start Living and How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, he said 90% of worries are financial. Divorces, 50% can be linked to money problems. So, you know, we have to start getting a relationship with cash. Okay, now step one, what is cash? Okay, what is money? As we learned back in grade school, before there was money, it was the barter system. One guy has chickens with eggs, and he trades some eggs with the fisherman, and this way the fisherman gets eggs and the chicken guy, he gets fish. That's the barter system. But, of course, it got a little too complicated, and especially today we can't give a taxi man six eggs for a taxi ride. And what if the fare comes to 6.5 eggs? So we have money that's a symbol of these products. And all these products are from energy, eggs, produce. It's all God's energy. So money is a symbol of God's energy. So this way we don't have to take those half dozen eggs on a taxi ride. So here's the real interesting question. Is that energy positive or negative? Well, it's neither. The energy, it's neutral energy. Money is neutral energy. Now, the example that I always like to use is money is like dirt. You can use dirt, put a seed in it, grow an apple tree, and eat the apple and become healthy. Or you can take the dirt, put it in your orange juice, and drink it and get sick. The dirt was just being the dirt. It was how you used it that made you healthy or sick. So money is the symbol of neutral energy, and it just depends how we use it. Now, the more money we have, the more healthy we can become, the more educated we become, or the more trouble we can get into. So as pointed out to me by my success mentor, Mark Raymond, he was talking about the man that Jesus healed. Laid his hands on him, and he could get up and walk. And then later Jesus saw him in the temple and said, sin no more, lest greater sin will come upon you. And as I was explained to me, where Christ gave the man more energy, Christ gave him energy, and this man now has more energy. So if he sins, if he misses the mark, that's what sin means, he can get a greater problem because now he has more energy. Just like the man with more money, man or woman with more money, can get into a greater bad trouble. So that's something to remember. It's all we have to control and control our money. Rich versus prosperous. You know, I am rich, I am prosperous. What's the difference? Prosperity, rich means money in the bank, and that's great. Prosperity includes everything: health, right work, good friends, comfortable place to live, hope for a greater future. So that's prosperity. So what we should be doing is programming in prosperity. Now, the subconscious mind is very, very sensitive. And the more I study throughout the years, I'm surprised at how sensitive it actually is. So that's why these bond symbols for change. And that's why, like on the money clip, there's a technique. You'll have 20s, 5s, and 1s on your money clip, but you put a $100 bill on the outside. Now, of course, the joke is that that's known as the Hollywood bankroll, 100 on the outside, 1s on the inside, where you're fooling people. But as we already said, we're not trying to fool people. That's to program our minds. So when we see that money clip sitting there on our mission control center, we see the $100 bill. And you should have some other $100 bills in your wallet as well. But that's one of the programming techniques for money. Now, the most important thing about money, of course, is circulation of money. Money is like an electric current. You have a battery power and a wire going into a light bulb, and the wire coming out of the light bulb going back to the battery. And as this electricity circulates, the light bulb glows, and the faster it circulates, the brighter the light bulb is. So you have to think of yourself as a light bulb with a wire maybe going out of your stomach and going around and back into your back. And as money goes out in a prosperous manner, you don't think, oh, I'm spending. So you spent has that idea of use up. So it's good to eliminate that word and just think in your mind, I'm going to circulate my money. And if you cut that wire, the light bulb will go out. Well, the same if you hold in your money out of fear, the light bulb will go out. Now, the faster that money goes out and circulates, the faster you will glow and the richer you will be. This does not mean we waste our money. It's interesting to see people when you're waiting in line at a supermarket and convenience store, the clerk will ring up the bill, and then the person will look at the bill and then look down and slowly pull out the wallet and slowly look for money. Other people have their money ready, so it's like that person who's slowly doing it is kind of has this fear of, I don't want to let my money go. By the same token, you don't throw it out and just say, here, you don't just throw it. Like Lenny Bruce did, he came out on stage one time and he said, are there any lawyers out here? And somebody raised their hand and he threw some money at him and said, there, now you got all of it. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to be cavalier with our money. And we want to circulate the money, our money in the right place, and we want to get that circulation. So it's giving. I even saw Frank Sinatra on an interview. Somebody asked him about his money. He says, money, you got to move it around. The comedian Don Rickles told Frank Sinatra, Frank, you wake up in the morning and God throws money at you. And Sinatra says, yeah, and I throw it right back. So we've got to start thinking the circulation of money. And a great technique is when you spend $10. See, there I use the word spend, but when you circulate, try to get that in your mind. Naturally, you're going to use spend. But when you circulate $10, mentally put a zero on it. You give the clerk $10 bill, in your mind you see $100 coming back to you. Now, maybe that $100 won't come back exactly as cash. It might come back to you as health, as a new friendship. It might come back to you as a new business idea. Of course, that will make you even more money. So add a zero. Now, they say a lot of rich guys add two zeros, but I recommend, I can't even do that myself. I always just add a zero. But if you can add two zeros, you give it $10 and see $1,000 coming back, then you know, go ahead and do it. But we got to take small steps with our subconscious mind. You know, we make these affirmations and they're fun. We say, I am rich. And the subconscious comes back and says, no, you're not. Look at those bills over there, and you don't have any money in the bank. So affirmations are not enough. Our subconscious has to be programmed slowly at a deep level. And another technique, I do a lot of work with subconscious mind programming. In fact, on my 8-hour CD program, the last 30 minutes, there's a hypnosis meditation program where we go down to our alpha level, and that is the level just before you fall asleep, where the mind goes down and the subconscious mind comes up, and where you clear out negative thinking and any negativity of the past, because the subconscious works in a very particular way. There's an image attached to an emotion. My first film, for example, I couldn't sell it. Bombed, and I had lots of debts. So every time I thought of my movie, even a couple of years later, I think of that movie, I'd shake my head like, oh, God. Now, see, there's an emotion. It's the image of that picture, and then, oh, you know, the emotion. Well, that's blocking my prosperity if I have that block. And so when I met my teacher, and he taught this, that was the first thing I did. I released my mistake of filming it in black and white, or my mistake in the writing where it didn't have enough action to sell. I made a number of mistakes. I forgave myself and released it. And I had a partner that caused a lot of trouble too, and I released that. What you do is you see that person. You got anybody in your life that you have to forgive and release instead of holding resentment. See the person's face in your mind. And that's hard to do sometimes. Somebody who betrayed you, or you know, you're angry at, you see that person's face in your mind. Just before you go to sleep, you can do this. And you put white love light energy around it in your mind. And you can even be, before that, you can even be angry one more time if you want to do that. Get angry one more time at that guy. Messed up my movie. Okay, now you can put the love light around it, around the guy's face. Forgive him and let his face in your mind fly out into space. He gets smaller and smaller, and let him go. Give him to God. If it's a relative that you got to still deal with or work situation, you know, just do a forgiveness, and the face going out doesn't mean you're not going to see that person again. But if it's something you're not going to see, just release it and let. Now, I still remembered my movie and the mistakes I made, but I didn't shiver and shake when I thought about it. Okay, so because that was the fear, that was the disappointment, that negative energy, fear energy. There's only love and fear, and that was the energy that was holding me back. So now after that, when I thought about it, I still had the image but not the negativity. And in fact, I got hired. A producer saw that first film, never did sell it, but he hired me to do the second, my second film, and that one was a big success. So it's a very important technique. So that's why this money situation is very, very important. Okay, we carry, you know, Americans. I found this survey. How much cash do you think most Americans carry? Under $20. 32% of Americans carry under $20. $21 to $50, 43% of Americans carry that. So if you add that up, that's 75% of Americans carry under $50. So you get up to $500, that's 0.6%, not even 1%, 0.6% of Americans. $1,000 plus 0.5% of Americans carry that. So if you want to feel unique, instead of getting a tattoo or a pirate earring, you can carry $1,000 worth of cash and be in the top 0.5%. Now, it's interesting, when the actor George Hamilton was a young man and he got his one of his early roles, he had to play the part of a rich man. And he wasn't rich, so he didn't know how to play it. He asked the director, how do I play a rich man? And the director said, go to the bank, pull out $5,000 in cash, and put it in your pocket. So he did, and he put it in his jacket pocket. Now, in the scenes, he never took the cash out. It wasn't in the scene. It was just in his pocket. Yet, it energized his personality, and whatever that thing of walking or talking, you know, as a more prosperous person, it really helped him out. So there's cash, you know, yes, we have it in the bank. There's ATM machines everywhere, but I gave you examples of when that doesn't work or when you, you know, don't have time to get to an ATM machine. If you carry more cash, it's going to be like a personality energizer. And then people say, but what if I lose it? Well, you don't lose your wallet, right? And I tell you, losing your wallet, to me, is more difficult than losing some cash, because your wallet's got the credit cards you have to cancel, and worst of all, your driver's license that you got to go to the DMV and spend 3 hours getting a new license. So if you don't lose your wallet, you're not going to lose your cash on your money clip or in your wallet. And it's better to have cash and not need it than to need cash and not have it. The other thing is, people say, what if I'm robbed? You know, what if I'm mugged? Well, first of all, muggers don't have X-ray vision. They're going to think you are like 75% of Americans with under $50 in your wallet. And the other thing is, I've heard people who got robbed, and they said, thank God I had something to give the guy. And I've heard interviewers with muggers, ex-muggers, and they said that they work up all this energy to pick a victim and go after them, and if they don't have something, the victim doesn't have any cash or a watch or something, the mugger gets violent and angry and starts beating them up. So there's instead of a negative reason for not carrying cash, it's actually a positive reason that you should carry cash. And those excuses about getting robbed or losing it don't work. So you have the cash in your wallet and in your money clip. You know, it just happened to me. I run out to the convenience store to get something the other night, and I reached in my pants, and my money clip wasn't there because I left quick. And thank God I had my wallet. So you got two sources of money on your body. So, you know, Wayne Newton, when he was a young single guy, he took out a girl on a date. It was one of the singers, one of the Kim sisters, a very famous singing group. Took him to a Denny's, and he found out he didn't have enough cash for the bill. So he excused himself, secretly called his brother, hey, I'm at Denny's in New York and Fifth Street, come and bring me some cash secretly. And he kept ordering dessert for the girl. The brother didn't show, and he kept stalling and stalling. And this was his first date. He didn't want to ask the girl to pay. Finally, he sees the brother waving to him, and Wayne Newton goes back, and he says, where were you? And the brother said, do you know how many Denny's there are on this street with 3-4 Denny's? And he said, I've been to every one of them. Well, that sounds like a funny story, but it is. But you don't want to be... you don't want to be the one in that situation. It's funny when you hear about it. It's not funny when you're in that situation. Okay, so I made the case for cash. Now, here's one of my favorite things for programming cash is, you go to checkout at the bookstore, and they have bookmarkers that look like cash. And it's like, why do I pay real cash to buy fake cash? So I started using $20 bills as bookmarks. Once again, programming the subconscious mind. And then I raised it up to $100. So that's a really good technique to program. Boy, I must be rich if I'm using $100 bills. I give my father throughout the years. I give him often give him books, and I started putting $100 bills in there. And first time he got it, I gave it to him. Oh my God! He sees the $100. He grabs the $100, runs into his bedroom, hides it in the sock drawer, pulls out a $1 bill, and uses that for a bookmark. Well, that went on for 3 or 4 books. Finally, you know, he got so many $100 bills, and he just left them there, which just means, see, it was too much energy for him. You know, $100 was too much energy. He couldn't handle it. He thought somebody was going to steal it. He had to protect it. So, I mean, who was he hiding it from? My mom? I don't know. So, you know, it's very interesting in this world of energy. We're in this flowing energy. We're like fish in water. And the fish don't know we're in water. And we don't know that we're in this energy world where we're all connected. And the law is, like vibrations attract like vibrations, just like birds of a feather flock together. And you know, when a high-tension wire crosses a low-tension wire, it breaks. You know, your hand is vibrating warm at a certain rate, and when you touch ice, it hurts. Why does it hurt? Because there's pain, because the vibrations are so different. You know, think about water. Very slow vibrating water is ice. We warm it up a little bit with heat, and the ice becomes water, but it's still the same material. We put more heat, and we vibrate that water more, and it becomes steam. We trap that steam in a bag, and we put it in the freezer, energy down, it becomes ice. Okay, so that's the vibrational rate of energy, and that's why when you're a very, you know, positive, energetic person and a negative person walks into a room and maybe they don't even say anything, you can just feel it. It's like, ooh. Well, it's like putting a dirty fish in a tank of water. You know, the dirt goes off the dirty fish and floats over and gets on the clean fish. So this is a world of energy, and that's why we're doing all of these prosperity techniques. So those are some of the the techniques of money, and there's a lot more that there is in my seminar. But just remember to start circulating cash, start getting a relationship with cash, and start making have a more relationship with cash. You know, if people say, if I win the lottery, I'm going to do this. I think Coach Lisa talked about that a couple of shows ago last week, you know. Don't wait. You know, how would you feel if you had won the lottery? What would you do? Now, of course, you don't have the money to just go out and pay for some, but what would you do if you won the lottery? You know, how would you walk? How would you talk? Now, here is the biggest thing for the James Bond lifestyle as far as prosperity and lifestyle. A second house. Everybody wants a second house. They drive up to Lake Tahoe there in California. They say, wow, this is beautiful. I'd love to have a second house up here. A second house is going to cost you $400,000. Down payment, interest, insurance, and maintenance. And you have to worry if somebody's going to break in when you're not up there. And what you can do, now if you have a second house, that's great. That's great. But if you don't, start taking mental possession of hotels in areas you love to go. So for me, up to Lake Tahoe, I love going. We go up there twice a year, go up there with my parents and gamble and eat and drive around the lake. And Caesar's Palace, it's now called Mont Blue, but Caesar's Palace, I took mental ownership of that hotel. Think about it. You know, when I was a kid, my parents would rent a cabin, and of course that's fun. But what do? You carry in boxes of cleaning, the first day cleaning, you know, utensils and cleaning powder, and you clean the place up. And in a hotel, you walk in, and all the shampoo's ready, the beds are made, the soap is there. Start taking mental possession, and not only, you know, these are your second homes. And again, this is, it's not about the pride of ownership. It's about the livingness. So for $150 a night, you can stay at your second home. My other second home, I love Universal Studios, and it's a good area to operate from, and they have the Universal Hilton there. That's my second home. And I just took mental possession of it. Now, women can understand this idea more than men. Men love that pride of ownership. Of course, we got to be careful of the pride. You know, pride comes before a fall. Men want that pride of ownership. And once again, if you own it, great. But take mental ownership of those resorts, because that's where James Bond stays. And you know how many nights you can stay at a hotel instead of buying a second home for $400,000? You know, just divide the $150 a night into the $400,000. Belong to the Hilton Honors Club, and I'd recommend that. And as well as the when you're in another city, if you rent a car, the Hertz Rental Card Club, where you just go and you pick up your car right there, and they already got your name in a computer, and you just see your name in gold lights and your car is right there and it's ready to go. So those are some of the Bond and his cash. Your appearance, very quickly here, this is very important. The biggest mistake men make about James Bond is that he walks around with a mean professional wrestler scowl on his face. You look at all the actors that play Bond, when they walk around, they have their relaxed face, they have a glad to be here expression on their face. Of course, in the action scenes, they're grimacing, but when they're in the resorts or walking around, very confident. And now it's interesting, men and women, to have an interesting face is more attractive than just a handsome face or just a beautiful face. An interesting face is more attractive. How do you make an interesting face? Be interested. Walking through the shopping mall, you just kind of looking around and you're kind of glad to be there. The place Bond is the place to be. So you don't gawk and look around and go ooh and ah, unless you're in some, spectacular place. But you just kind of have that interested. You look at George Lazenby in Honor Majesty's Secret Service in the first 15 minutes. At the 15-minute mark, he's walking down the stairs through the dining area and into the casino, and he's just kind of glancing around, glad to be there. So men, don't make that professional wrestler face. Okay, we're going to end up the show here. For more information, the best place to find this is on Facebook. Just search James Bond Lifestyle Seminar. You type in James Bond Lifestyle, and the drop-down window is going to put seminar, and click there. You know, when I did this James Bond Lifestyle, I had to do it all alone. But now, thanks to the Internet, there's about 300 men and women on that James Bond Lifestyle Seminar page sharing information. In the discussion area, click that. You'll see the 21 of the rules of James Bond Lifestyle and lots of information there. So go to that Facebook page, and you'll even see where you can download the 8-hour audio course, if your friends want to have that. So I'll end tonight by saying, every time you go to the window and you look outside, and you might see the city, and it might be a country, or there's people walking around, and you think that James Bond, at the end of every movie, he survives. He's beat up and he just barely makes it, but he survives. It's that survival. And you look out the window and you see, not the people walking around, not the buildings, but you see a marvel, a mystery right there on the other side of your window. And you say to yourself, I'm alive. And being alive is fantastic. And every time you do that, you're part of the James Bond lifestyle. So I'll see you next week for the dating relations for Bond girls and guys. That's our main and only subject next week. Coach,
awesome. I'd
like to give you back the control.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. That is great stuff, Mr. Paul Kiriazi, film and audiobook producer, director. I have worked and coached so many actors and actresses in Hollywood. Thank you for coming on the show today and sharing that valuable information about prosperity, relationships, our appearance, talking about being confident being confident, being resilient, which you know right now is one of my hot topics, being resilient. And that's one thing we can definitely say about the James Bond lifestyle. James Bond was definitely resilient. And also, James Bond wasn't being bullied either. So we are learning a lot that we are taking away from this mini-series, this four-part series on this seminar. So for those of you who are tuning in, I hope you are taking notes on more than just the information, but even the style of Mr. Paul Kiriazi and his presentation, how he's outlining his message. This is all good stuff for those of us who are in the field of speaking and training, seminars and workshops. We're getting a free lesson right here from the maestro of directing and putting together movies. So I celebrate you and thank you so much, Paul, for coming to the Coach Lalisa Show. Now, don't forget, we have a serious lineup for you this week. So we have a kickoff today with a film and producer and seminar leader, Paul Kiriazi, who travels around the world with his concept of the James Bond lifestyle, where last Monday we had the 21 laws of the James Bond lifestyle, of the Bond lifestyle, so make sure you go back and listen to that. Today he talked about Q Branch, our appearance, talked about the money clip, Bond and his cash, and that prosperity. That was a great, great, great message. Great examples about energy and the vibration and how water is the same material, whether it's ice or boiling, but it's what's happening with that energy, how powerful, how awesome. Just good, good, good stuff. And about being afraid of, and holding on to our money as opposed to letting it circulate. So please get your young people to listen, download the archives. I know for Monday, last Monday's archives, we got close to 100 hits just in the archives, so probably more by now. I didn't check today. So please go back and listen today. If you missed the whole entire series today, you want to go back and listen to that. Next week, you'll be talking about the Bond personality, and you want to come back for that. Don't forget tomorrow, Kevin Eichelberry, he is the author of From Bud to Boss. So I know people like Hope and some other, all you business owners and all you leaders getting promoted in your company, you want to hear this message. And even if you're not, you still want to hear it because you might learn how and why your coworkers are behaving. And then Wednesday, Versi L. Walker, our Wednesday Midweek Inspirator is here. Thursday, we have Ms. Ronnie Nicole, also a filmmaker. She is doing a film that will be in Newark March 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Then Friday, we have a very, very special guest from Atlanta, Georgia, empowerment coach and her partner. So please tune in. All this week, keep it locked to Lisa. Please, if you have forgotten, to mark your calendars for our first international writer and publish convention at the Wyndham Hotel. The convention has already been asked for me to bring it through Atlanta, Georgia. And so it's spreading. You want to write that book. You want to write those articles. You want to write that movie. You want to do an audio book. Come out and learn the writing process, marketing techniques, how to network, how to promote your product, how to get on radio, get on TV, get interviewed. We're going to be interviewing some TV segments down in the Philadelphia area, interviewing cast from the movie The Iniquity. You've got to stay tuned and stay connected. Well, we wish Valentine's Day, go out and celebrate with your loved one, your family. If you're not married, if you're single, then go celebrate with someone else. Take care. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. This has been the Coach Lalisa.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget, to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Felisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lilisa J. Williams.